Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, and thank you for joining us at the Cruzy Sisters International Internet Radio Show. Joining me today is my sister and co-host, image consultant, and spa owner, Debbie, and our local girlfriend's Bible teacher and sister in Christ, Tammy Salt. I'm Mrs. U.S. 2002 life coach and youth pastor, Tammy Cruzy. May you be inspired, uplifted, and reminded that you are worth more than diamonds. Now with some special music by our creative audio producer, Tammy Moe. Sandra Wilkinson, our floor director, will now connect you live to our studio audience just north of Seattle, Washington, at the group we call Girlfriends.
You make me whole. You take the pain away. I'm so in love with you.
Good evening, girlfriends.
Good evening.
We want to welcome our audience today, wherever you're at in your life, whatever part of season that God is working with you. We pray that you bloom where you're planted tonight. Let's open in prayer. It's great that you're with us tonight. Lord, we just pray that you would be with our time together. We pray that you would calm our hearts and have a time and an opportunity to share happy triggers in our life, God. I thank you for Mrs. Burton's book and how she wrote the being happy things on the outside, Lord. But we thank you that you gave us the joy and the reason to share our love and our laughter and our happiness. We thank you that you are the one that brings happiness in our life. And no matter what we do or say, there's nothing greater than knowing you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are on the book, Happy Women Live Better. And it's just been a real joy. This is a lot more light and airy than our last few studies.
Yeah, true.
So last week, Debbie brought us our first happy trigger, and that was anticipation. And how something to look forward to can make us happy. But this week, we're going to be talking about my favorite happy trigger, and that's smiling. My dad used to always say that if you smile at everybody, they'll may look at you kind of crazy, but it'll start a ripple effect where they'll smile back. But if you go around frowning, you know, the 10th person's going to probably push you off the curb. So it says, one of the quotes is, "Every day I find a way to smile, especially on bad days." So do you find a way to smile on bad days? There was a story in the book about a man named Jim that never smiled. And finally, one day he started smiling, and he found out as administrator, people followed him more. People were more interested to listen to what he had to say because he didn't always have that poker face and that frowning face. And, you know, it takes 7 muscles to smile and 14 to frown. So relax. Also, a smile gives you a positive emotional impact. Even if it's not real, it triggers endorphins in your brain. You know, there was a research that happened one time of people saying that happy people whistle more than other people. And they don't know if it's because whistling makes you feel happier, or somebody that's happy happens to whistle.
I can't whistle.
But if you do whistle, it does kind of make you a little bit
happy. I can't whistle.
I can't whistle. I can't whistle loud, believe me. But sometimes the feeling, the sound of whistling inside your own mind gives you a little bit of happiness. So they found that it wasn't just that happy people whistled more, but people that whistled more were happy.
I like
it. Isn't
that
funny? That was a totally separate issue. But it says that biting a pencil and smiling releases endorphins. Now, does anybody bite pencils and are happy about it?
Do people use pencils anymore?
For you.
Some people like that feeling of biting down. I know they do tell the kids not, unless you want to have to go get a shot or something. It says that smiling has a domino effect. And just what I said about my dad and walking on the sidewalk. It has a domino effect when you smile. Experiencing happy emotions can trigger you to think of positive things. And it's so what the Bible says. If there be anything good, any virtuous, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So we have to find the good. I was counseling a lady today on the phone who has issues, not big issues, with her fiancé. They're going to get married in a month or two, but there's just a couple of things they don't necessarily agree on. Now, they're both Christians. They both are serving the Lord. They're desiring the Holy Spirit in their life and everything they do. But there's a couple things they don't agree with, and they're just kind of theology points. So I said to her, now, last time I talked to you was 5 years ago. When you had to break up with your boyfriend, you also had to get a restraining order. So see how different your problems are today
than they were 4 or 5 years ago.
Wow, I never thought about that. So isn't that great that when you call me with your problems today,
they're nothing that's life-threatening? They're nothing scary?
Yeah.
And these are just kind of issues. It's not even the main issue of what the Word of God says. So can you live with these issues? Could you live with these issues the rest of your life? I want you to tell me everything great about him. So we did that. We thought of what was good, of a good report, and we thought on those things. And I think when she hung up, she liked him a little bit more than when she called me. Experience happening emotions can trigger you to think about positive things. The Bible says, again, if there's anything good or virtuous of good report, think on these things. And it says, smiling won't make your situation better, but it'll make you feel better. Literally, it'll make you feel better. So no matter what you're going through, if there's a time where your kids or your grandkids or your husband or somebody's driving you crazy, three things: breathe, smile, and pray. Breathe, smile, and pray. And when we come to God in prayer, what do? We first thank him. What is there to thank him for? I talked to a good friend of mine today on the phone that runs a local ministry here, a shelter. And, boy, she had great things to say. And I know that she sees heartache and struggle and homelessness. But she was thinking on all these things, and you can hear her smiling over the phone. You know, people say that are in telecommunications to make sure that you smile when you talk on the phone because somebody can hear that. There's something called the Pan Am smile. And the Pan Am smile just barely smiles enough to say, thank you for flying with us today. It was known as the Pan Am smile. But there's also a smile that is named Dr. Duchess, is it? Dushin. And where it's the smile that engages all your muscles on the side of your face and also gives you crow's feet. And that type of smile is the best. Because they took 150 people, I believe it was, or 112 people, and they showed pictures of people that were smiling and were not smiling in the picture, no matter how attractive they were or not attractive. And by far, when people looked at the picture, if the person was smiling, they looked at him and say, yeah, I'd vote for them if they were running for president. Or, yeah, they look nice and kind. Or, yeah, I bet that they were the most likely to succeed. And, you know, in a lot of places, even if they took, like, old school records and have them look, if they looked in their life, the ones that were smiling did better in life. Isn't that weird? But they already had a more positive outlook. We know a boy right now, Debbie and I know a boy that's a teenager that lives on his own, but is so positive about his situation that he says, everything that ever happened to me, I am able to use. Tammy and I worked with him too, the other Tammy. And you know what he said? When my mom threw me out the window, that was the best thing that ever happened because I got put into a wonderful foster home. And then this happened. And then this happened. And here, I'm still crying about him being thrown out the window. I just can't believe this happened. But he took that and turned it, and he's smiling as he's telling me his story. And I'm just like, because of his attitude, he's somebody I want to help. You know, just because he has this attitude of gratitude. And I asked him, I said, is there anything you need? And he says, I'm not hungry. And I said, I know, but is there anything you need? If Tammy has $20 and she wants to give it to you, what can I buy for you? And he said, well, come here. And he showed me, and the side of his pants had a hole in them. He said, these are the only pair of pants I own. And he smiled and he laughed. And it didn't mean the hole went away in his pants. But his attitude was so good. I wanted to help him. We are more attracted to a smile any day than we are to negativity. So don't be careful who you share your smiles with, but be careful who you share your tears with. And those are the best friends that you can feel, that you can tell how you feel. But there's a time where I remember another, I quote my dad a lot, don't I? Another thing that dad says, and dad says, you share your smiles with the world and share your tears with the Lord and with the family of God, and know and be prepared and ready to share a smile all the time. The other thing, there's benefits of smiling. And benefits of smiling, it says, it takes you from a place of thinking to a place of feeling. It helps you to get outside your head and inside your heart. It releases serotonin, but it does not burn calories like when you exercise and releases serotonin. And it's a calming hormone, and it releases endorphins.
But you do eat less.
They help you to relax and improve how you feel. This expands your ability to think more clearly. When I take a test, I try to smile because it literally helps you think more clearly to smile. It fights negative thoughts, and it changes the atmosphere. A smile is universal. It connects people, and it is contagious. I've told the story before how we were in Mexico, and when Bailey had hardly any speech, I think he had 10 words, and he was about 4 years old, and my other son, who was very outgoing, was 6, and they went in the pool with two little Mexican girls that were just as cute as can be. And they walked over swam over to them and found out quickly that they spoke no English, and my son spoke no Spanish. But my son Bailey, who was nonverbal, had a great time with them. And they had no idea he couldn't talk because he couldn't speak their language anyway. And he was so used to nonverbal communication that he made great friends. He even knew what time to meet him the next day. He didn't tell time. Couldn't figure that one out. But he met them again.
Oh, my friend.
Went over to them, never tried to talk to them. And he was so undisabled because of his smile. He had such an ability to communicate because of his happiness that I wrote a paper on it for school. He was one of my essays. It was nonverbal communication. What is the power of a smile is universal, and it is contagious. The other thing is, a confident smile means you're going to smile more often. Fixing your teeth or whitening your teeth is one of the best investments you can make, and I'm not making any money from a dentist. But and I'll give you a couple hints on that too as a former dental assistant. If there is one cosmetic change that actually increases happiness and confidence, it's changing your smile. And the other thing is women show more and read more facial expressions than men. And I'll end this part and let Tammy take it here in a second. But Proverbs 17:22 says, "A cheerful heart is good like medicine."
Good.
Agreed. It's funny that you say that about your smile, because I was talking last week of how I'm on a new journey in bettering myself. And
yeah.
My last journey was fixing my smile.
Yeah.
So it's funny that you said that. So today I'm actually going to talk about 9 ways to serve somebody. And I was going to bring you all.
Is this service? Is service the next one? No.
Yeah.
Is it? Is it service? Okay. I didn't look ahead. Sorry. So
bring me back to last week.
Wow, no, I was excited about that.
I was going to bring you an index card, so I really challenge you to, and I apologize I didn't, but you'll need 3. And do write these on the index cards and even, you know, put them in your wallet. Whatever you have to do, do remind yourself of it, but neat things. Ask the question. So first thing, 3 self-coaching questions will get your day started on a happy note. When you wake up in the morning, first ask, who will I bless today? Very simple question. Who will I bless today? And that could be anything from opening a door for somebody to paying the extra change on somebody's milk, you know, or their groceries. Second question, what am I looking forward to? And even though usually it's for 5 o'clock, you can resort to that one if there's nothing else, but usually you can find something wonderful to look forward to. For me, I look forward to a steadily busy day, not too busy. I just want it to go quickly. But I want to be busy during that time. what am I most grateful for is your third question. And I really love that one, because then you start out your day with these active happy triggers. Because how many people, with a raise of hands, how many of you, when you do something for somebody, it makes your day? Not only does it make their day, but it makes your day. You've done it. Just warms your heart. You can't help it. It just happens. John 13, verse 12 through 15, but I'm going to read 12 through 17. Then he said, "Do you understand what I've done to you? You address me as teacher and master, and rightly so, That is what I am. So if I, the master and teacher, washed your feet, you must now wash each other's feet. I've laid down a pattern for you. What I've done, you do. I'm only pointing out the obvious. A servant is not ranked above his master. An employee doesn't give orders to the employer. If you understand what I'm telling you, act like it and live a blessed life. So what Jesus is saying simply is, I'm showing you how to be a servant to everyone. So one of the things that my boss does that is, we have a new employee, and she even remarked on it. She goes, I can't believe that you did that. She's the boss. I'm the office manager. She's the boss. What she says goes. But every single time that she wants to leave early, wants to take a lunch at a certain time, wants to take a vacation, she asks us, do you guys mind if I leave early? I've got this and this and this to do. She could leave early if she wanted to. We couldn't say no. But when she asks, she's honestly asking. If I was to say, oh, I've got a meeting at such and such a time, or oh, gosh, can you, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, she would not leave because she's seriously asking. And it is such, it gives you such a camaraderie of nobody's hovering over somebody else. And it's a nice place to be. And I envision that when Jesus was washing the disciples, saying, you know, that Jesus is saying, I am not higher or lower than you, even though he was. That's not how he approached the relationship, and that's key. And that's how we need to be. Oh, look, hold the door. Service, I was wondering where I got that. Service is practical. It is doing something for the benefit of another person. In a world in which we are so often faced with rudeness and disconnection, intentionally commit random acts of kindness. And I think that we sometimes have to really put thought into this because it's so easy to be too busy, to be too focused. And I like what she says here. Holding the door for the person that you're seeing in your peripheral vision behind you, don't pretend like they're not there. They are there. Wait the 3 seconds, hold the door for them. And I stopped and I thought, you know, how many times do I'm so busy, I'm like, that I don't notice anything around me. I mean, I'm the worst. My husband will mow the lawn and do all this wonderful stuff, and I'll be like, oh, da-da-da-da. 2 weeks later, I'm like, oh, the lawn needs mowed. I mowed it twice. You haven't said anything. Sorry. I notice when there's something wrong, but I don't notice when there's something right. Knit good. Give grace. There but for grace of God go I. It's not all about you. I know that that thing you need is taking longer than you'd like, but it will get done, even if it doesn't get done in your timing. And this particular sentence reminded me of something Denise and I were talking about on our commute. Be patient and give that person the grace to make mistakes, grace of humility. Servants are humble. They give others the grace to be human. And we were talking about how when you talk to people on the phone, and I talk with a lot of customers on the phone, and I try to be courteous and prompt with them, but sometimes I run into computer issues. A lot of times I run into computer issues, more times than not. And I want to resolve everybody's problem, but I want to resolve it a lot quicker for somebody who's being kind and understands that I have no control over that situation. Or if I have made a mistake, as long as it doesn't cost them a couple $1,000s, you know, but we were talking about it, and she had said that, you know, she'd run into some people that just have these terrible conversations with people on the phone, and they're cruel to you. Well, you fix this right now. You do this right now. And there's no humility. There's no patience. There's no understanding that they're human and there's errors that can be happened. Just give them a break. And I thought that was interesting because we just talked about that. Give your loved ones what they want, not what you want. Mm-hmm. Don't even go there. Without realizing it, we often give others the love we want them to give us. But giving what you want makes you your act of love all about you,
yes.
Not them. Yes, you might like getting flowers and gifts, but your hubby would rather you stop what you're doing and spend the afternoon lying on the sofa with him watching football games. That would make him happy. Do you know how sometimes things just get thrown in your face over and over again? Yeah, that was like a Mack truck. Yeah. Yeah. Number 5, volunteer to help. The simplest way to serve is to find a need and help fill it. Are you active with a nonprofit organization?
That too.
Or ministry that makes a difference in your community or around the world, And a lot of you are involved in the church here. And I know personally, when I give, okay, how do I say this without coming across wrong? It's going to come across wrong, so I'm sorry ahead of time. There are some times when I'm sitting here that it's lip service because I'm tired and I feel empty. I've talked to Tammy about this. And it takes a lot of prayer and a lot of reading and a lot of spiritual preparedness to give you a happy me sometimes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So with that understanding, when I leave here and I feel like one person is happier or got a little bit of a glimpse of a direction or got anything from me, it makes my week. And it feeds me the whole week on trying to get ready for the next lesson. And so I say that because doing the tiniest little thing like, babysitting after school, that's not tiny, that's crazy. But doing something with kids, doing the nursery, anything that you can do, when you're helping somebody else, it is such a gift. It is such a gift. I was talking to somebody this weekend about how I have a shopping problem. My problem is in shopping for myself. I spend way too much money on everybody else, and they know that, and they hold me to it, too. But I really enjoy to buy things for people. I like to get things for people that if I'm in a position where I can do it and they need it, I feel it's a gift. It's a gift for me, not so much them. But don't buy things for Ann. Becky gets mad.
Uh-oh.
I just bought her dress.
I know, right? adopt a family. And I like this idea. Does anybody ever adopt somebody for Thanksgiving or Christmas?
I've been adopted.
Right. So how about adopting? Has anybody thought about adopting a family not for a holiday?
Yeah.
Around the holidays, our hearts are warmer, I think. Our hearts, we're ready to just open up and just share our Thanksgiving and our blessings. But what about during the rest of the year when there's no holiday to prompt it? What about that time? Maybe look into really a... Number 7, mentor a young woman. Whether through a formal program such as ours or informally through a family or another gathering, make sure that you invest some time in we as young Christian women.
Well, we have run out of studio time this week, but we want to say thank you for joining us. We never close out a service or a program without giving people the opportunity accepting Christ as their personal Savior. It's as easy as ABC. A, acknowledge you're a sinner. B, believe Christ died for you. And C, confess Him openly. That's all Christ asked us to do. You can repeat a simple prayer like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. Please forgive me of them now. Please come into my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, we would be honored to know. Please call us at Cruzy Brothers main office, 1-800-800-6121. That's 1-800-800-6121. And we would be honored to talk to you. We want to thank you for joining us today. Our sponsors are the Cruzy Brothers World Outreach, celebrating over 40 years on consecutive television and radio. Our executive director, Reverend Stanley Rowe. And we want to thank our floor directors, Sandra Wilkinson. Until next time, may God richly bless you.